You probably know that there's a long history of dogs serving in the military and in law enforcement. Of course, there have been occasions where these noble creatures have been misused. The civil rights era comes to mind. But today, a German shepherd named Cairo accompanied the Navy SEALs who killed Osama bin Laden. On the Facebook site Soldier Dogs, you can see pictures of military dogs parachuting with their masters. During World War II, the Marines used German Shepherds and Doberman Pinschers against the Japanese. The 2008 film War Dogs of the Pacific describes the crucial role the dogs played.
The reputation for the war dogs was very good. We had a lot of Japanese on Saipan surrender because they were so afraid of the dogs, and the dogs had taken more of a military stance, really, than what they were. They were scouting and defying them, but they got the reputation they'd go and attack you.
Sometimes they'd come to the front of the cave to come out, and they'd see the dog. And as soon as a dog saw them or smelled them, they'd start barking, and they wouldn't come back out. They'd go in, and then we'd have to tell them, if you don't come out, we're going to send the dog in after you. And then they would come out.
25 Marine dogs died on Guam during World War II. There's a monument to them on the island today. And now a Vietnam vet from Falmouth, Massachusetts, is pushing for a memorial to dogs who've served since 9/11. Alan Driscoll served in the Air Force in Vietnam and worked with a German Shepherd Scout dog named Duchess. On a recent rainy Saturday, he joined other vets for the rededication of the Massachusetts Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Worcester, Mass., and told Here and Now's Alex Ashlock about the day he met Duchess.
I volunteered for the canine work in Vietnam. I knew they were short of handlers. And literally got introduced to her by somebody saying, there's the dogs in the kennel, go in there and get it. And she was a great dog, wonderful scout dog, moderately aggressive. She wasn't one of these super aggressive dogs, but developed a real good working relationship with her in the year or so that I was there.
Tell me what you did with her as a scout dog. What did you and a scout dog do? What were your duties? What were your missions?
These are Air Force dogs. When they first went over to Vietnam in 65 and 66, we were the first ones in the country. They were still using them as sentry dogs, not scout dogs, and they weren't really sure how to use them, so they would essentially put the handler and the dog out into what was at that time heavy jungle still on the bases, and their job was to patrol an area until they ran into somebody to make a radio call, letting them know that there were infiltrators in there. Then you were supposed to go after them, but there was nobody else coming out after you. You're all by yourself with a dog.
You must have had some close calls.
A few. We were involved in December of 66, which was a pre-Tet attack, but it was the first time that Air Force Security Force had been involved in combat since Korea. I believe there were about 50 or 60 of the NVA that were killed. They came through the canine post. The canines accounted for a goodly number of them. They weren't even aware the canines were there. We lost a handler. We lost two, three dogs that night. One in particular, George Beavich, who was probably the first Air Force canine person killed. George radioed in, said he could see him, and let him know where he were, and just said he was attacking, and that was the last we heard of George.
Talk a little bit more about the bond that you developed with Duchess. I was reading a story recently about a British soldier. He had a sniffer dog, a bomb-detecting dog. The soldier was killed by a sniper. The dog died soon after of a seizure, and there were people who said the dog died of a broken heart.
I believe it. It's the only living thing you really have a close relationship with. And in the case of what's going on now, it's literally 24 hours a day. In Vietnam, we worked at night with the dog sleeping in the kennel. You're sleeping in the barracks getting ready to pick the dog up that night and go out. The dogs wind up sharing your sea rations. You chuckle. In those days, there was something called chopped eggs and ham, which came in a small can. It was horrible.
Sounds delicious.
Well, it must have been because my dog would never eat it. I figured anything she would need, I didn't want to eat. But there are other things she really liked. But I have a slide that I took of Duchess when I left. That's the last picture I have of the dog.
You don't really know what happened to her.
I didn't know until 2 years ago when she was euthanized. They didn't even keep good enough records to tell me what happened to her.
Wow, so you found out 2 years ago that she had been euthanized over there?
Over there, about 3 years after I had left. She'd gone on to another handler. She'd survived the Tet attack, apparently done very well during the attack, the handler. Good dog. they considered them equipment. And it wasn't until about 2000 when Bill Clinton signed a bill saying they had to put them up for adoption that they stopped the euthanization process.
So she was euthanized because she was just not useful as a scout dog anymore?
No longer useful as a sentry dog. They got rid of them. You know, there were about 10,000 dogs that were used in Vietnam. Less than 200 actually came back to the States. They gave them some they gave to the South Vietnamese, others they euthanized. It wasn't well handled.
Now, do I understand this right, that you have a dog now that was either a military dog or law enforcement dog that you've adopted?
When that adoption bill came through, I put in for it, and I believe if what they tell me in Texas is correct, I'm the first civilian to get one of the military dogs on the working dog program, a military adoption program.
And that dog's name is Barrow?
It's Barrow, and he's smarter than I am. He's home staying dry while we're out here in the rain.
Tell me a little bit about the program you're involved in now, which is to honor dogs who are serving, I guess, for lack of a better word, in the war against terrorism.
That's exactly it. We have put up a monument in Fairfax, Virginia to war dogs. But we looked around at the country, and the country is involved in a war on terror, and that's not only the military. It's the people that are working for the feds, like TSA and Customs and Border Protection. It's all the law enforcement guys that are out here, and nobody's really taking care of them. So we developed a program which just said that, you know, we will treat them all as a single unit. You know, we'll recognize all of them in this war on terror. The program is short duration. It's essentially started on 9/11, and it will end when somebody says the war on terrorism is over. The idea is to erect a monument. We've been given space at the Army Staff War College down in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. We're exploring Boston at this point. We are the only ones who are doing a medal. Every other country honors its war dogs with a medal. Ours doesn't. And we've taken the approach that they need to be. There needs to be something that's tangible. You know, that shows that dog amounted to something other than a picture of a guy on the dog and somebody saying it's Sergeant so-and-so with his dog. The dog's an individual. It has a name, and it's our intention to recognize it.
That's Vietnam vet Alan Driscoll with our own Alex Ashlock. And since that story gave some of us a warm feeling, let's continue in that vein. We want to note the passing of Andy Griffith, the small-town sheriff in the fictional town of Mayberry, North Carolina, the America many aspired to, the American many aspired to be. Andy Griffith died today at 86.